We'll begin reading verse number 28, and we'll read down to verse number 32. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you that we have your word. I thank you for this opportunity in which to speak. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to be able to give it in the same urgency, Lord, and steadfastness as the Apostle Paul gave it. I pray, dear Lord, by your spirit, you would make it real to our heart and to our own life, not just for today, but, Lord, through this year and through the rest of our life. And, Lord, I want to thank you for this and thank you for what you're going to do. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, Paul is speaking here. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And we'll stop our reading there. But in verse number 31, it says, "Therefore watch and remember." Therefore watch and remember. Paul is giving here, he's telling us in this portion of Scripture, at least to these pastors, he's saying, when I leave, I know what's going to happen. These pastors would see Paul no longer. This would be the last time they would see him. And he says, I know as soon as I leave that grievous wolves will come in among you. You wouldn't think in a church there would be that. But he said, as soon as I leave, he said, I know those wolves are going to be there. He said, not that only, he said, there'll be other people that will rise up within that same church, your own church. He said, that'll actually try to separate and split the flock there. And so he gives them these words of instruction, these words of really admonition in order to help these men go forward in their ministry that God had called them. We are at the beginning of a new year. And I believe the same thing that Paul gave these men, we can make that application to our own life. And I know I want to make it to my own heart and life, and I told the Lord I have and want to. He's going to have to give me the grace to do that throughout the year. But I want these things in my life. And I want to try to give these things to you, the same thing that Paul gave to these ministers, because I know it'll help you just like it helped these men. And I'm sure it did. You know, I took courses, and I've told you this before, but I took courses sometimes in college. I took we call interim courses or summer courses, and they were reduced courses. They would be reduced about 3 weeks. I'd go to school about 7 in the morning and would get out about 1 o'clock that afternoon for 3 weeks, and it'd be just solid, and we'd have quizzes, we'd have tests, we'd have all those things within that a time period. You really didn't have time to study for it. You just hope you listened well. But one thing I noticed, I enjoyed those classes because I seemed to have a short memory so I could retain that stuff quickly, and then I could at least retain it for my tests, my quiz, and then I would be able to pass it. But it was something they would get to the meat of that class. They'd get to the meat of it. You ever had somebody you speak around, they talk, don't say a preacher, that they came to go a long ways around the barn to get what they're trying to say? Paul here gets right to the point. And he begins to give them these things, and he calls a meeting together. You know, there's a lot of church meetings that happen today. There are church conferences for certain different reasons. Some of them are for evangelistic reasons, trying to get a church to be more evangelistic. There are revival meetings, trying to revive a church. Really, a revival is trying to get a church revived to do the work that God wants them to do. That's really what a real revival is. And then you have church growth meetings. You have everything. Well, this was a pastor's meeting that Paul called together. Paul passed up a city named Ephesus, and he went to Miletus there, and from Miletus he sent word to Ephesus and said, I want you to call those elders there, those pastors, those presbytery, those bishops. He said, I want you to call them and let's have a meeting at Miletus. Now, there was a meeting before that, I believe, at Troas, if I had it right, but he there preached all through the night. Now, what Paul is trying to do, he's trying to make it back to Jerusalem to the day of Pentecost. He wants to meet that meeting, and so he's trying to get these things done on his journey to the day of Pentecost, and I've told you before, he will not see these men again. And so he gives them the root of the matter. He gives them the things that they need most. And these are the things I believe in my own life I need, and I'm going to give them, if I can, by God's grace, to give them to you. The first thing I see that Paul gives here is Paul gives a model in which to follow. A model in which to follow. I believe all of us need a model. You say, Brother Sewell, I do have a model. The Lord Jesus told the disciples, said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I want you to look at verse number 26. Wherefore, this is what Paul said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. That's a pretty good testimony. I think that's a great testimony. Wherefore I take you to record. He said, I want you to realize, he said, I'm giving you record this day. He said, I am pure from the blood of all men. Then I want you to look in the 18th verse. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. You know what kind of manner of man I was. And he ends that little statement there. He says, I have the blood. There's no blood on any man's hands that's on mine. I don't have any blood. That's a pretty good model in which to follow. And so we need to look forward, I believe, to a model or someone in which to follow. And Paul gives us admonitions in other places. In Philippians 3, verse 17, he says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. You know, a lot of people today, they're rebellious. We have our rebel in us. We don't want to follow anybody. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And so Paul says here, brethren, be ye followers together of me. You say, well, he should have pointed them to Christ. He was following Christ. Let me give you the next verse. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We ought to follow people as they follow Christ. That's what a pastor should do. He should follow his own life. And he's telling these men, he said, you need to follow Christ. And he said, follow me as I followed Christ. And so we need to see, we need to have models in our life. And so Paul gives here, in these few verses, really a definition or a description of his model. Let me just go through there and let's show you about this description. Verse number 19, I want you to see this. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And so when I look at that verse, I see there Paul said, I am a servant with all humility. I'm a servant. He said, I served with humility, all humility. He said, I served through sorrow. That means with tears. He said, I served despite the temptations or despite the trials. He said, I was a servant with all humility. And so he's given himself as a model. He's saying, I was not just this. He said, I was a servant. Not just an apostle, but I was a servant. He goes on to say here, verse number 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. You wonder where we get house to house. Soul winning? This is what Paul said he did. He said he went from house to house teaching people, but also presenting the gospel. You see that in the next verse. But when you look at this, I put down there that Paul said, I've been a disciple. Not only a servant, but he's saying, I've been a disciple. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is a learner and a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a biblical disciple. Paul said, I have learned what God wanted me to learn. And he said, I am following the Lord. And so he said, I'm a servant. Then he says, I'm a disciple. In verse number 21, I want you to look with it with me. He said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not a Jew this morning, I asked in Sunday school, I said, how many of y'all are a Jew? And nobody raised their hand. If you're not a Jew, you're a Greek or a Gentile. But Paul said here, he said, I gave the gospel to the Jews and to the Greek. What gospel did he give? Let's read this verse again. See what he says. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward what? God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. A Jew gets saved the same way a Gentile gets saved. The gospel. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ died for me. He died as me. He died in my place. And he bore my sin debt. He was buried, and on the third day, he was risen from the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he's seated on the right hand of the Father as the high priest who ever liveth to make intercessions for his saints. And I am a saint of the Lord. And so the Lord says that's his high priestly work now, if he ever liveth to make intercessions for us. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. And Paul said the same gospel that we are preaching today is the same gospel, repentance toward God because we've sinned against God, and faith in his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he gives that thing. So Paul not only said, I'm just a servant, I'm a disciple, but he also can say, I was a witness. As a witness. Now you say, Brother Sewell, that's just for preachers. Well, I think all of us should be servants. There was a testimony given here Wednesday night. That one person said, I want this year to be a greater servant. I think all of us should want to be a better servant. I think all of us would like to be a better disciple. I know that all of us need to be better witnesses. Paul goes on to say this in verse number 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, the bonds and affliction abide me. You know what he's saying? He said, every city I go to, people tell me that I'm going to Jerusalem, but when I go there, that bonds and suffering is going to meet me there. I'm going to be thrown in jail, and I'm going to suffer for the cause of Christ going to Jerusalem. But he says in this verse here, I want you to look what he says when we first read. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. In other words, he said, I'm not my own. Most of us, if we knew that if we went to a city trying to do the work of God, and we knew that we were going to be persecuted, we knew we might be killed for our faith, but if we thought the Lord and we knew the Lord was leading us, how many of us would actually go? How many of us have dedicated Christians nowadays that's willing to give their life for Jesus Christ? And that's exactly what Paul said here. He said that I am a bond slave to the Spirit of God. Not only am I a servant, I'm a slave to the will of God. And so he says, I'm a servant, I'm a disciple, I'm a witness, I'm a slave. He goes on to say in verse number 24, but none of these things moved me, neither counted I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The Bible says that each one of us has a race. He says, I finished that I may finish my course. There's a race that each one of us has to run. And so Paul says, not only was he, like I said, a slave, he said, I was faithful. I finished my course. He was faithful to the Lord. He was faithful to his calling. And he was faithful to the work that God had asked him to do. And so when you look at these things, these terms that we hear, servant, slave, disciple, witness, faithful. You know, they don't sound very flamboyant. You know what sounds a little better? Apostle. That sounds a little bit better. Pastor. Sounds maybe better. But we have all these things. We live in a society today that we like to have our titles. We want to be known. You can't even tell somebody anymore that they're a janitor. Now they're an engineer or something. They call them a little different. A different title, so they won't be offended. Well, Paul says here to these pastors, he said, I have given you a model in which to follow. And these models there, when you look at these terms, these are not models that most people want to grab hold of and be a part of. You know what it takes to be a disciple? It takes some time to learn. It takes time which to follow. You know what it takes to be a witness? I'll tell you what it'll take. It's going to take some reproach of the cross of Christ. The Bible says, take up our cross. When you begin to witness for Jesus Christ and begin to share the gospel, you're going to face a reproach of this world by Satan himself. You'll begin to face a reproach. Most people, they don't even want to take the time to witness when the church has an opportunity to witness. And so when we talk about the new year, how are we going to go forward with Jesus? We need to have and follow the right model. And so I believe that Paul gives here not just the model himself, but a higher model. He gives the model of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I graduated from college, walked across that stage, they gave me a semi-diploma because I still had one class in which to finish. And I finished that class. But they also gave us a towel. That towel was a representation of how the Lord Jesus Christ would wash His disciples' own feet. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, do you want to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to be His slave? Are you willing to be faithful? Because those are the things that God will reward. In this world, you try to climb at the top of the ladder to be the highest and be the best. But in God's kingdom, you come down to the lowest and God will exalt us, help us to be what He wants us to be. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about service for our King. And so we need to ask to the Lord, say, Lord, I want to grow in Christ, but am I willing to be a disciple? Am I willing to follow the model that the Apostle Paul gave here? I believe it's good enough for these pastors. It's good enough for every Christian. Brother Sexton used to tell us, he said, the highest calling in the land is to be a pastor. You might not think so, but I'm talking about God's kingdom. But he said, the highest calling, he said, you ought to represent it well. But you know, is there a low part in God's kingdom? I don't think so. Not with the Lord. But Paul is saying, no matter what my calling, an apostle, he said, this is what I am. We want rewards in heaven. We want God to use us. We want the blessings of God to come forth in my life, and I do. But I know in order to do that and to see God work, I have to be willing to follow the model that God has given in our life. Let me give you number two in this word. Second, Paul gives us a warning to heed. A warning to heed. I want you to look at verse number 28. Just two words, the first two words. Take heed, therefore. You say, that's three words, I know. But take heed. In other words, to take warning. So I looked at this thing. Look at verse number 31 where we start out. Therefore, watch and remember. As soon as you start walking for God and trying to take ground back in your Christian life or to go forward with the Christian life, that's when the devil begins to come out. That's when he begins to fight us, and he fights us every step of the way. Let me give you some examples here. Verse 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says, for Demas, Paul said this to Timothy, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Here Paul was depending on Demas, and Demas, because he was in love with the world, he forsook the Apostle Paul and rid of the work God had given. You know why a lot of people are not in church today? Because they love the world more than they love Christ. They love the world. And so Paul said about them, let me give you Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 13, or 11 through 13. Peter was basically, let's go to Galatians. Let's turn to Galatians there if you would. Galatians chapter number 2, look at verse number 11. We'll read from 11 to verse number 13. Galatians 2 and verse 11 says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing that which were at the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." So Paul is saying here that Peter, the head of the church, Peter, James, and John, Peter was the head of the church, but Peter was hanging around some Jews that came, and so instead of, he had fear for these Jews, instead of eating with the Gentiles now, he separates from the Gentiles and goes with the Jews and begins to eat with them, trying to go back and identify with Judaism, the law, and not grace. Barnabas, the encourager, Paul's right-hand man at the time, Barnabas was even basically led astray by Peter to do the exact same thing. So I'm telling you about Demas, he's forsaken. I'm telling you about Peter, that he got out of the will of God there, and Paul rebuked him there in this chapter. I tell you about Barnabas was led astray because of Peter's influence. In Acts chapter number 15, verse number 38, the Bible says about John Mark had departed from them and went basically back. He quit in the middle. They had a contention. Barnabas, they were going on a missionary trip. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Well, John Mark had quit somewhere in the middle. They were out on the mission field and John Mark quit. And there was such a contention that actually the Apostle Paul and Barnabas divided over it. And so you see John Mark quit in the middle. A lot of people love this world. A lot of people won't go forward. They quit some way. Some people are led astray. Can I give you another one that you've never thought of for the most part? It's John the Baptist. John the Baptist loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And he actually rolled out the red carpet for Christ to step out on the scene. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And he baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he come up out of the water, the Bible says he saw the Spirit descending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Talking about Jesus, this is what John the Baptist said, "that taketh away the sins of the world." John the Baptist was later thrown in prison. And he sent two of his disciples to come to Jesus and said, "Are you the Christ? Or should we look for another?" John the Baptist that baptized the Lord Jesus, he himself doubted later on in his ministry, in his life, and said, "Are you the Christ?" That doesn't sound like those good men would falter and would fall. But every one of them got off course or got off track that I listed here. And there are many others. Paul said, "All have forsaken me" in one point in his ministry. You say, "What are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, he says in this verse, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto your" what? "Yourselves." The greatest priority for me to take care of is this person, this preacher right here. I need to take care of me first. You know, I can see, most of us can see everybody else's sins. We hear a sermon preached, you say, "I hope she's hearing that, I hope he's hearing that." I don't tell you, we hardly ever really see our own sins. We pass over those like they're nothing to them. But Paul said to these ministers, he said, "You need to take care of yourself first." Greatest priority in my life and greatest priority in your life is to make your heart and your life right with the Lord. Brother Tom Sexton used to say, he said, people come all the time with these troubled pasts and all these things, and he said, "You know what? You need to turn your life over to the Lord." That's what every believer has to do. Paul said, "I die daily." We have to turn our life over to the Lord every day and decide, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. When you begin to follow, like I said, the first person, we need to take heed to ourselves. This year, I want to say that's the greatest thing. The hardest person I know to keep right is me. If you're honest with God and you're honest with yourself, the hardest person you know to keep right is you. And so Paul says here, he doesn't cut around, he doesn't say you. He says to yourself, keep your own self right. I'll give you another one. Not only we need to take heed, we need to take warning, but we need to take heed to other people. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let me read this verse number 27. Paul said this, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what he said? He said, I keep my body under rule and reign. I control it. And you and I can control our spirit by God's grace. But we need to take heed of other people. Look, if you would, verse number 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And so I want you to see that word grievous wolves. I already told you that's false teachers. That's false doctrine that they're teaching. And so those grievous wolves are coming in. They're in the church. The Bible talks about when the parable of the sowers, he says there in the parables of the kingdom, he talks about those birds that lodge in the air or lodge in that bush. There are churches, people that lodge within the kingdom of God that are actually birds, they're evil birds. They're not spiritual birds. They steal and snatch away the seed of the Word of God. The Bible teaches that in Matthew chapter 13. Read it for yourself. And so these grievous wolves are those type of people. They sit there maybe among you. They know how the right words to say. And there are many of them sometimes get in a place of leadership and they teach false doctrine. You say, what's doctrine? In other words, that's our belief and teaching, what the Bible teaches. That's the reason why it's so important as God's Christians to know what God's Word says. How are you going to know when somebody's teaching a false doctrine? We had somebody visit the other day that they said we were a cult. And they were from what I would call a cult, but I didn't say that. But they didn't teach the same gospel. Then we've had someone on Facebook or on our, I guess, what do you call those things, where they give a review of your church. This is what they said, just another cult. Just another cult. Well, I'll tell you, if preaching the gospel is just another cult, that's what I want to be. But that's what the world's going to do. People all want to give their opinion, but they don't know what the Bible teaches. I was at breakfast the other day with some men. And those men, I were going out on a job site to work. And I just made a comment in passing. I said, you need to be careful. And I made a comment my dad told me years ago. He said, son, he said, usually someone else will get you hurt or will get you killed. Now, my dad was an elevator mechanic. And so a lot of things on the elevator, in the elevator room, a lot of floors get you killed. And I worked for elevator companies for a little while. So a lot of things could get you killed. But usually he made this statement. He said, people will get you hurt. They'll get you killed. And I made that statement to that young man because they were doing some little bit dangerous work. And I was just joking. You know, in the same emphasis, most people don't realize that usually someone else that will lead you astray, it'll be someone else that'll hurt and put a hurt in your life. Because we allow something in our life that shouldn't be there, or we allow someone in our life that should never come in our heart and in our life. And so we have to be the one that take heed to ourselves, but we need to take heed to others, and to other places, and to other teaching that comes around and comes in our life. We need to watch it, so we need to know what the Bible teaches. And so we need to see these things, what they are, and we need to call them what they are, at least be take heed and take warning to these things. And so I want to just, like I said, not a model to follow and a warning in which to follow or to heed, but also we need to have an instruction to follow. I want you to look at verse number 32, and I'm almost done. I'm just going to do it quickly. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst all them which are sanctified. And so Paul gives here to these men, he said, he really gives them two things in this one verse. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. A lot of times we have in our year, each year we make New Year's resolutions. And I have things this year I plan on doing. By God's grace, I plan on doing. These are some of them. But you know, the greatest and the best advice that Paul gave were those two things. He said, when I commend you to God. In other words, I put you in the Lord's hands. You know how you put someone in the Lord's hands? By prayer. By prayer. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. There are people in our families, there are people that we love, that there is nothing that you have ever said has turned them or ever will turn them. But if you commend them to God, that's the best thing you can do to them. You can pray for them. I had a man that I knew, and I could say certain things to him and certain things I could not say and have the liberty that I ought to have with him. I didn't want to offend him. I didn't want to lose him as a friend. But I wanted to be a witness in his life. There came a point where I could not do anything else. And I just began to pray for him and put him in the hands of the Lord. And I said, Lord, you know, I can't lead him in the right direction. I've led him as far as He'd allow me to lead him. But I said, now, Lord, I'm putting him in your hands. And I watched God use and direct that man's life to be such a blessing by just simply putting him in the hands of the Lord with prayer. And then he says, I commend you to the word of His grace. The Lord Jesus Christ has sanctified. If you're a believer, you've sanctified. You're positionally set apart. In other words, you're saved. In God's eyes, He sees you, not in your own account, but in the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's sanctified or set apart. But if you want to be set apart as a Christian in this world, you have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to get in His word. The Holy Spirit and His word work in direct relation. As we begin to get in God's word, not just to read it, to have quantity. So I read my chapters today, or I read my verses today, or I had my devotions today. But read it for God to feed us and to study it. I was talking to someone recently, and they said, how many people do you know that actually study their Bible? And I really didn't answer in such a way. I said, in a different way, but finally I said, not very many. And I think about a church. I think about you. I don't know your life. I don't know your devotional life. But Paul said, the best thing I can do for you is commend you to God in prayer and to the word of His grace. Everything else, a disciple, a servant, a slave, a witness, a warning, being taken heed to ourselves, making ourselves right, and being able to see other things grows out of those two things. Prayer and our time in God's Word. What we do with it. For this new year, I don't think anything else could be better said than follow the model He's given us to take the warning in which we've been given, but also to take this admonition in our own life and say, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to do these two things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.